Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
What's happening?
Not too much, man. Just another casual day here. Rajan Walia, the banger in the paint. How you feeling today?
What a day to be alive.
What's so good about today? Just a typical day as far as I know. A casual 21 trades over the past 2 days, but no big deal. Whatever. It's obviously trade deadline day. We're recording at 4 o'clock on Thursday, so just after everything's gone through. And I can't stress this enough, man. 21 trades over the past, 3 days. Holy crap. Let's just start in Toronto, because everyone here is a homer, apparently. The Raptors started off everything. Little trade here with Malachi Richardson going to the Sixers for some cash. Nice little maneuvering by Masai, getting some money in there. Just after the 3 o'clock deadline, we had Greg Monroe coming in. Greg Monroe leaving, going to Brooklyn with a second-round pick. And the Raptors kind of got a lot better at the center position. They got Marc Gasol. Traded away Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a second-round pick. Is this load too much for Marc Gasol?
Couldn't even say it with a straight face, eh?
I mean...
You know what? Before we start talking about how great this trade is, I just want to give a eulogy for Jonas Valanciunas. This is actually serious, by the way, because I'm definitely going to miss him. I mean, he's played 7 years with the Raptors. He was one of their only consistent playoff performers. He showed up when it mattered, and he's never complained about, you know, his role being downgraded in the last couple of years. He's always been a team guy. Everyone's always, you know, said great things about him. And I think the locker room's going to miss him, but obviously, I mean, getting a talent like Gasol back, you do it 100% of the time.
Yeah, I just want to say my piece about JV. I've not always been his biggest fan, but he's always been a loyal servant to the Raptors. And loyal servant. You know what? He's seen his role reduced, but he still put up good numbers in a backup role. And he was on pace to have a very good year, considering his minutes were cut down from previous seasons. Just obviously the hand injury set him back probably 2 months. But speaking about the Raptors looking to upgrade, I know we're going to talk about the other trades happening in the East and kind of an arms race, but the Raptors definitely got better. And I think the best thing about this trade is they really didn't give up much for a big upgrade, I think, in terms of making a playoff run. And they're just a better team than they were yesterday.
Are you saying giving up JV isn't much? How dare you? This is a Raptors legend. Second longest tenure on the team this year. How could...
That is blasphemy. This is unacceptable. Wow. There will be no JV hatred on this podcast.
Wait, has he been with the organization longer than Lowry?
Yes, he has.
Yeah? Oh, dang. So that means Lowry is the longest tenured player now, right?
He's going to be the next to go.
There's something we don't know about.
Yeah,
it's actually in the works.
He's getting bought out.
But yo, Gasol coming to Toronto is huge. They finally have a big man that they can really rely on. He can shoot, he can pass, he can handle the rock. He's still an amazing defensive player. He basically does everything that Valanciunas does, but better.
Yeah.
And he's just an overall more talented player, too. I mean, he's basically the upgraded version of Serge Ibaka that can pass.
Not as athletic, but can still block shots. similar to how Tim Duncan used to do it, by just like putting his hands up.
He just knows where to be on the court.
Yeah.
And also with Gasol, I think you just have a bit more defensive flexibility, just a smarter player. And at the end of the day, like, what the Raptors had to give up was obviously JV. They had to give up DeLon Wright, who probably wasn't going to be getting many minutes in the playoffs anyways. And CJ Miles, who's been pretty much a disappointment this year. And for all that, they have Gasol for the end of this year. He has a player option. If he decides to accept the player option and the Raps go in again next year, great. That's the same like length contract that JV would have had, and they're only paying like what, $8 million more. It's not a contract that's going to last 5 or 6 years where you're going to worry about his age. Like, I think Gasol can do a really good job for the next 20 or so regular season games, and come playoff time, I think they address one of their biggest weaknesses, which was rebounding and inside presence.
Yeah, this is the part of the podcast where I splurge about how great the Raptors are right now.
God.
So we have a starting lineup now of Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam, and Marc Gasol. I mean, is there a better starting five in the NBA defensively than those five guys together? And the parts actually fit. I know we're going to talk about Philadelphia in a sec, which I don't really think that their trade really works fit-wise.
Oh my God.
We're going to get into that afterwards, obviously, but Jesus. With these five guys, like having two Defensive Player of the Year players with, you know, Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard, and Marc Gasol is still really, really good. And you can't really switch everything with Marc Gasol at the five, but he's smart. He knows how to play angles. And I think the biggest thing offensively is when Kyle Lowry or Kawhi goes pick and roll with Serge Ibaka, when teams actually make him make a decision where he's not just shooting his little 12-foot shot, and he has to dribble the ball or he has to try to get to the basket on his own, those plays are absolutely disastrous. Whereas now we have Marc Gasol, who's one of the best passing big men in the NBA. I think he's averaging the most assists this year than he ever has. And he's still super efficient on offense, obviously. He's going to fit like a glove. And I think he's going to create more space for Lowry now, since he's a guy that can space out to the three-point line, obviously, shooting 34% from three. Whereas Serge hasn't really done that this year. So I think the lane's going to be more open for these guys to get to the basket.
You think they have a better defensive starting lineup than Milwaukee does?
Yes.
Really? Over Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Giannis, and Lopez?
Absolutely. Lopez is not as good defensive player as Gasol. He's been really good this year, obviously. But I think he's more exploitable in the pick and roll. I mean, if you look at the matchup thus far, Serge Ibaka has averaged like 27 points per game against Milwaukee this year, just because he can't guard the little screen rolls. And now you bring him out to the three-point line instead of the foul line, and, you know, the lane just opened up.
I'm sorry.
So I think this is a huge move.
What's the record, the season record with these two teams?
Regular season doesn't matter.
What's the record? 2-1?
Three.
Damn. I didn't realize.
Well, if you want to go down that route, Toronto's 2-0 against the Warriors this year, so I guess we're winning the championship.
If you make the championship, that's the issue. You still have to make it out of the East, who just got significantly better, right? I mean, look at what Philly just did. They got Tobias Harris, Boban, and Mike Scott, gave up Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, and Mike Muscala, and a bunch of their future picks. Yeah. Yo, come on, man. That team's going to be vicious now. They also got Jonathan Simmons for Markelle Fultz. Yeah, that bench is a lot stronger.
Too many
stronger.
Cooks in the kitchen.
You can say that about any team. You can say that about Golden State. And they still work.
Yeah, I think Philly did obviously get a lot better with these trades. To see how they all fit in will be interesting. But I think one thing that's really going to help them is now they're in a situation where even in the playoffs, when your rotation gets a bit shorter, they're going to always have at least two stars out on the court at the same time. And I think one thing that I think we're all forgetting is Philly got pieces for pretty much like not much. Like, they gave away a few prospects, obviously Fultz when they traded him away, but they did get a first round draft pick from Orlando, and they lost Shamet and Muscala and all these players, but in the end they got serviceable players in return, and these players are going to play minutes, and I think Philly's probably one of the better teams in the East already, and now they just got a bit better. So There's clearly like a top four in the East, and I think there's very little separation between them. I still, going back to the Raptors, I think it's going to be interesting to see who they get in the buyout market, because right now their roster is, what, 10 players, and they might have one or two pieces that they could add to actually round out their roster and hopefully make a good late season push and go strong in the playoffs.
Okay, so getting back to Philadelphia now. They trade for Tobias Harris. Yes, it's a huge talent upgrade. But now they have five players in the starting lineup that, I guess Redick doesn't need the ball ultimately, but four guys that are used to having the ball. So which of these two players is going to take a roll cut and essentially have a lower usage rate in their starting five going forward?
It's going to be Simmons and Harris that take a roll cut. Butler's already taken like a major step back this year because of the trade.
And isn't this going to make it worse?
Maybe. Or maybe he maintains the same position and you take time out of, or shots from the other guys. Right? The whole point of Philly is to work around Embiid, inevitably. Right?
And I think they brought in too many guys to do that. They should have surrounded Simmons and Embiid with more shooting types than, you know, Jimmy Butler, who needs the ball in his hands, and Tobias Harris, who's been more of a high-usage player. He's a really good spot-up shooter, obviously, but he's going to have to really adjust his game, too.
He won't have to adjust. He just chills. Chill and wait for the ball.
Yeah, I think he'll get his touches.
It's easy when you have
He's
so much
used to being a primary ball handler this year, though, right?
It's hard
to switch from being the guy to just being a spot-up guy. Especially in a contract year. Like, we have to talk about that, too. Like, he's going into a contract year. He wants to make max money. You think he's going to settle for being a spot-up shooter?
But I think the key thing is he's already played with the Clippers for, what, two-thirds of the season. He's put up great numbers. He's shown that he's maybe he's not worth max money, but he's definitely worth a big contract. And he probably will get it from Philadelphia or another team that's looking for a player like him. But I think one thing that's with Philadelphia that like is very interesting is like I feel that they kind of fixed their depth issue just by adding another star, and now they can just kind of balance out the lineups. So they're never really going to have a second unit. They'll just have like Harris and Simmons playing together for part of the second unit, and then they'll have Embiid coming in. So it'll be more of like a 6 or 7 man rotation where they don't really have a second unit. They're just playing parts of their first with like one or two guys off the bench.
Nah, I don't see it. I mean, Jimmy Butler is already pissed off at his role, and now this is just going to make it worse. And he stormed off in the post-game press conferences after Toronto's game. So, I mean, him not getting the ball nearly as much after this, too. He's already complained about his role twice, and he stormed out of the the press conference yesterday or whatever, 2 days ago. So this is only going to make it worse. And as you said, they have no bench right now.
You think that him storming off from a press conference is indicative of him not being happy with the whole team, not just pissed that they lost a game that they should have been better in
on the team? Wow. With his role in the team, absolutely.
I think you just don't like Jimmy Butler. No, you just don't like Butler. Well, anything involving Butler, you're just automatically out on.
Well, with good reason.
Not really.
Yeah, I think the hate for Butler.
What are you talking about? The last two teams he's gone to, he's destroyed their locker room.
I'm sorry. Has Minnesota done any better since he's left? Not really. They're still like 10th or 11th in the West right now.
That doesn't mean that he's a cancer. He's not a cancer. He's probably the biggest cancer in the NBA right now.
I don't think so, man. I think you're overblowing it.
Yeah, I think the hate is showing here. I think one thing that you do bring up is like I think the Sixers would have been a better team right now had they not made the Butler trade and then just acquired Tobias Harris.
I agree with that 100%.
I thought like the fit would have been better. You just have like more players that complement each other, because right now Butler's kind of like the sore thumb that sticks out a little in terms of just like he needs the ball and you need Simmons to have the ball a lot for him to be effective. But at the end of the day, I think Philadelphia is a better team than they were last night. And this trade happened yesterday. So like when they played the Raptors on Tuesday, they're just a better team. They did give up a lot in terms of like first round draft picks. And I thought the Clippers did a great job. And I think we'll talk about that later. But I just think Philly's now going to be in the buyout market for maybe one or two players. Like last year, they got Bellinelli and Ilyasova, who are huge playoff contributors. Like if they get one or two guys in the buyout market that rounds out their bench. I think this is a dangerous team. Like, they just have scoring, and they have Embiid, who's going to be, I think, unstoppable in the playoffs.
If he gets a ball.
He will.
He is literally the one player who will not stop getting the ball.
He's already complained about his role, too. He had to bring in a guy that's a high-usage player.
You're talking about their complaints from the first 2 weeks of the acquisition. It's been like 3 months since, and there have been zero complaints since. You're really sticking to like the first 2 weeks of this. That's the issue.
Role definition matters in the NBA, and when you have this many guys who need touches and you don't have any role players around your stars like this, it's not going to work. And if it doesn't work, you have two guys in Butler and Harris that are on expiring contracts who they traded a lot for, who may just leave if the situation happens where they lose in the second round, which is going to be catastrophic for them, because then you're stuck with Embiid, Simmons, and not much else. So,
yeah, then they'll just have a lot of money on the books, or empty money on the books, sorry.
And they traded Saric, Covington, and two future first-round picks for two expiring contracts who left the roster.
They went for it this year.
Yeah, they went.
Like, I'm not saying that the Butler trade. I'm not saying that the Butler trade wouldn't. Like, the roster would be better if they didn't have Butler and kept Covington and Saric, obviously. But hindsight is 20/20, right? You can always just go back and say, "Oh yeah, if you didn't make this trade but made this trade, the roster would be better." But it's not the way it worked out, right? Given the position that they were in, it was either you go for it now or you're just sort of stuck. That's the issue. Like, I don't think Philly was in any position to not go for it now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't blame them for going for it. Obviously, I just don't like the fit of the team. I just don't think it's going to work.
You just don't like Butler.
No, it's not even that. It's J.J. Redick's, overall impact is going to go down. He's not going to get the ball as much either. And again, they have zero bench, which they're relying on buyout candidates, obviously. But I just don't see it. I just think there's going to be a lot of chemistry issues going forward with this team. And I think they're easily the fourth best team in the East right now.
Hold on. Can we acknowledge that their bench isn't as shitty as it was like 2 days ago?
Yeah, I think
they got rid of Markelle Fultz for an actual player in Jonathan Simmons. Yeah. They got Mike Scott, who's Simmons actually killed off the bench. Simmons can kill time.
Yeah, and
that's all you need him for. He can play defense and he can hit open shots.
Yeah, and then
he can't hit open shots.
From time to time, he can hit open shots. And they have Mike Scott and Boban.
Yeah, and
like their bench is not as shallow as we think.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I can say.
Boban.
It's not
like Boban's going to play in the playoffs.
Dude, you're the one who always says that only the top five matter in the playoffs. So who cares?
They don't. No. The top 7 to 8 matter. Like, you still need guys to be able to have. Like, that's why I like the Mirotić trade so much, because they get another guy you can rely on in the playoffs, right? Which we'll talk about afterwards.
Yeah.
But Philadelphia has 5 guys right now, and that's it.
No, they have.
So you're not calling Mike Scott or Jonathan Simmons an NBA player in this situation?
I'm not saying they're not an NBA player. I'm just saying those guys are not reliable in the playoffs. Like, you have guys that are 82 game players, and you have guys that, you know, can play an actual playoff game and impact the game and produce.
Yeah, but I think the key thing is they have those 4 stars, and like you said, there might not be enough ball to go around if they start with those their starting 5, but I feel like they'll have enough combinations where they just have to throw in Simmons, Mike Scott, maybe Boban to let Embiid sit for a bit. They're also going to be active in the buyout market, I'm sure. And at the end of the day, they don't need to have another complete second unit that comes in. They just need one or two players to let the starters rest for a bit. And I'm sure that when Butler sits down and Embiid takes a rest, that Harris will gladly take more shots and Simmons will be able to execute down low in the post and be effective. Like, I think they'll be fine. And at the end of the day, they're a better team than they were when they played the Raptors. And they didn't really give up anything except their future first-round draft picks and so forth.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to another contender.
No, hold on. Why? I want to get this on the record for a second. Do you think that they are better than Boston, Milwaukee, and Toronto?
I
think they're in the same tier.
They are definitely in the same tier. I think any of those series, you can argue, if they played Boston, Milwaukee, or the Raps, I think they would go to 7 games.
Yeah, I think
you guys are crazy.
I think that all of these teams are pretty much on par with each other right now.
We'll see. You're underrating. Second round and out, they're going to lose both players. You'll see. That's my prediction.
They'll probably lose both guys. No, I think they'll end up keeping Tobias. I think they'll pay him and Butler walks.
Yeah, we'll see how the next 20 games goes, and obviously the playoffs is the big indicator. But right now, like, it's all about win now for the Sixers once they made that Jimmy Butler trade. So I think they're a better team now. They're more competitive. They'll give whoever they face more trouble, and it all comes down to, like, who's playing better, I think, between those teams.
I'm looking forward to the implosion. It's going to be great.
You better look forward to a championship run in Milwaukee, too. Because they just picked up Nikola Mirotic, man. And that just adds more depth to that bench. And they got rid of two guys who were not going to play anyways. Jason Smith and Stanley Johnson. And they're still under the salary cap. Like, Milwaukee is in an incredible position right now.
See, besides the Gasol deal, this was the best deal today, obviously. And going back to role definition, like, Nikola Mirotic is a guy that you can rely on in the playoffs to give you 25 really good minutes. And he doesn't have to be your, you know, third best player like he was in New Orleans. He can just be a guy that stands out at 28 feet and just gives Giannis spacing. And now they have more lineup flexibility just with playing Giannis at the 5-2 against a lot of lineups in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're, out of the four teams in the East, I think they're either one or two at this point.
Yeah, their length is just incredible. And yeah, the thing is, they have a system, and now they have players that fit that system. And, like, those players individually maybe aren't the deepest team or the most talented, but those players together in that system, I think, right now, they're the best team in the league. And no surprise, they go and sign a player that fits their system perfectly. And I think the one little asterisk is Nikola Mirotic has had a bit of injury issues, and I would just kind of rest him until the playoffs come. Make sure he gets maybe a couple games in the regular season, but make sure he's good to go for the playoffs, because Milwaukee is for real.
Yeah. Do you think that Toronto can actually take this team with their depth of... So who do they have off the bench now? It's going to be Mirotic, George Hill, Ilyasova.
Sterling Brown, probably.
Oh, yeah,
Ilyasova's not going to play anymore, I don't think.
Has he been out for a while?
He's come back recently, but he hasn't played that many minutes. DJ Wilson has been the guy that's been playing back center for them. And he's actually been pretty decent. He's 6'7", but he just knows how to play within their system, and he's hit a couple threes as well.
He's also athletic as hell.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're replacing him with Mirotic, who's going to take all those minutes, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Mirotic is a top-level player at his position, just being in stretch four, stretch five, and he's going to get wide-open shots on that team.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard team to play against, man. Because the issue is that whenever they have like a four out, one in with Giannis in the middle, I mean, how do you defend that with guys like Embiid or Marc Gasol? Like, they're going to have to defend, any shooter, like Lopez? That's going to be hard as hell.
Well, the reason why I think Toronto has a really good shot at beating this team is because, just like Milwaukee, they can play all different kinds of lineups, whereas some other teams, such as Philadelphia, can't match up as well, because Toronto can play Siakam at the five against Giannis. Or what I think is more likely to happen is, I think teams in the playoffs are just going to play guys like Embiid or Gasol against Giannis on the perimeter and just give them the shot.
Yeah, we saw Horford doing that, I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, against Giannis too, right? Just straight up throwing a five on him.
You make Giannis score 35, 40 points, and you cut off 3-point line. That's the way to beat the team.
Yeah. You know, Giannis is shooting like an awfully low percentage from three. Last I checked, he shot like 12 or 13%. It was incredible.
Yeah, he only takes like one or two a game. And he shot more recently, actually. But overall, he's obviously not shooting it well. But, I think that you have to try to make Giannis beat you from, hopefully, 10 to 16 feet, if you can, sort of goad him into taking those shots. And then you try to cut off the three as much as you can to beat this type of team.
Yeah, they've got a perfect system down. And obviously the last team in the East that we haven't talked about is Boston. And they're just sitting straight, right? Waiting for an Anthony Davis trade in the summer, because AD didn't get moved today either. Hopefully Kyrie resigns and then they can sort of just build around those two. But even then,
I'm just interested to see if Kyrie doesn't re-sign with Boston, if Boston just tries to trade for him anyway. Tries to trade for AD.
I don't think so. Would you? I like if he's already said that he doesn't want to like resign there. I guess he said he doesn't want to resign anywhere. He wants to actually be an unrestricted free agent. Is that really worth it? Because I don't think he's going to lead you anywhere. What's the point?
It depends how much you have to give up, because if they only have to give up Tatum and you know, Marcus Smart's contract and maybe one other piece that's not Horford, because the rumor today was it was going to be Horford, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and three first-round picks. That's a lot.
Damn, that's steep. my God.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you can keep Horford and keep Jaylen Brown and keep Rozier on a value contract, even if Kyrie leaves, that's a really good defensive team. And that's a team that can easily be the number one seed in the East still.
But you're buying that just for 1 year, though. That's the issue,
right? Yeah, but
right?
It's Danny Ainge, right? Like, he's the most conceited GM maybe in the history of basketball. So he thinks that he can, you know, get AD and convince him to stay.
Why do you think that? Like, why do you say he's the most conceited GM?
There's been reports of him and Pat Riley getting into it, obviously, in the media and also behind the scenes. He's gotten into it with a few other GMs. And obviously, this has been like a five-year plan for them. And everyone's known that he's been building towards this moment to get what could be one of the, you know, maybe 10 best players of all time when it's all said and done. So I really don't think that Kyrie leaving is going to sway him from, you know, going away from that plan and trying to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but I think one thing with Danny Ainge is, like, history has shown that he always wants to win every trade, and he has a good record of doing well in trades. It's just, I don't think that he's going to be willing to part with everything that New Orleans wants. And at the end of the day, like, there was kind of a mixed message that was coming out as well, saying that everyone's available, but we're going to make no guarantees. And obviously, you don't want to guarantee players right now because you want to see how well they perform in the playoffs. But I wouldn't be surprised if Boston performs well in the playoffs and then they're unwilling to let go of Jason Tatum, and New Orleans seems really set on including him in any trade talks with for Anthony Davis.
How happy are you guys that Anthony Davis didn't get traded today? Because I am ecstatic.
Yeah, I'm happy that LeBron has to try to carry these guys to the playoffs on his own. And looking at their schedule right now and how things project, I think that they might miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah, my bet's on them not making the playoffs this year. And
Ooh. It's
also, like, there's been, like, a lot of rumblings about the Lakers over the last week or so, especially with these trade talks around Anthony Davis, and it's probably going to unsettle a lot of players. Like, they played like trash against Indiana, and I could expect the same going forward from a lot of these players who are probably pretty upset that they're not in the future plans of the Lakers.
I mean, that just means LeBron gets to start start filming Space Jam earlier, right? The whole point of moving to LA, gets to film all this stuff nice and early.
I mean, just quickly looking at it, the Clippers are obviously going to fall out of the playoffs now that they don't have Tobias. They're in the 8th seed right now at 30-25. The Lakers are 27-27. So that leaves pretty much one spot open for the Western Conference playoff rankings. Because I think Utah has the easiest schedule going forward. They're in 7th right now, 31-24. And above them is San Antonio. I think they're the one team that could fall out, depending on injuries and just, you know, being able to maintain some form of consistency in their lineup.
Yeah.
So it might just be one spot that both Sacramento and the Lakers are playing for. And I think the Lakers have one of the toughest schedules going forward. So it's going to be tough.
Oh, and the Kings just got world champion Harrison Barnes. So it's going to be a little different up here in Sacramento now. They obviously just got Barnes. They got rid of Zebo's contract, and he's already been waived by Dallas. And they got rid of Justin Jackson. They also lost out on Iman Shumpert. Thank God that guy is finally gone. And they picked up Alec Burks in a 3-team trade with Cleveland and Houston. So the Kings just got a little bit deeper. And, I mean, they actually have veteran experience with Barnes in there now. It looks like they're going for it. I mean, they have nothing to lose because they don't have a draft pick this year anyways. You might as well just run up and try to snatch that 8th spot, get that playoff revenue.
Yeah, and I like the trade for Sacramento. I mean, I'm not a big fan of signing Harrison Barnes long term, if that was, you know, their plan. I mean, he has a player option for next year at, I think, $25 million. So in this situation, depending on what he wants to do, if he wants to sign a long-term contract or if he just wants to get the money right away and then be unrestricted the next year. Sacramento's got to make a decision there, obviously, and talk with him and his agent. But overall, I think the fit is good. And they obviously needed a big wing, and now they have a lot more depth with Bogdanović still coming off the bench, and they have a guy that they can rely on that is not going to be needed 100%, you know, in most games where he has to be like a top guy like he was with Dallas in the last couple of years anyway. Yeah. And he's really good in like a pace and space type of system, like he showed in Golden State, and they're the fastest team in the NBA, so I think he's going to be a lot more efficient on this team.
Is he going to start over Bielitsa? Probably, right?
No, I think he's going to start at the three, because they had Shumpert at the three before, and Bielitsa's the four.
True.
And then they have Bogdanović off the bench and Bagley off the bench. They got a nice top seven.
Yeah, I think.
Yo, that's a nice team.
Yeah, I think Barnes is just a great pickup. Offers a bit of spacing as well and better outside shooting, and he's a versatile defender. Obviously, he's not quite the player he was with Golden State, but I think it's a good pickup for Sacramento, as Josh said, and they didn't really lose that much in the trade. They lost Justin Jackson, who is a player who's probably getting kind of forced out and getting his minutes reduced as the season went on, and it's a great pickup. I think they should definitely sneak into the playoffs, especially with the Clippers getting worse and the Lakers just kind of staying the same. I think Sacramento should make it, and I think it would be a hell of a series if they ended up playing Golden State first round, just in terms of just pace.
Yeah, it'd be the most points scored in a four-game series ever.
Yeah, it'd be so hype, especially for the playoffs too. My God. If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball.
The game totals are going to be like 270.
I'm still going over. 135 apiece. That'd be amazing. My God.
But also, on the strength of schedule note, I just looked it up. Sacramento's 13th easiest in terms of the rest of the league, and then Lakers are 17th. So the Kings' schedule is slightly better than the Lakers.
It really depends on if LeBron sits out more games, right? Because they played him, or they said they didn't have a minutes limit on him, but they still got dominated. So does he just sit? Like, I would consider just like calling it a season after the deadline. Take off like a couple of games.
He can't do that.
Take off a couple of games here and there. LeBron, he's done it before. He's already taken like a month and a half off.
I'm going to be Nostradamus right now. They're going to sign Carmelo Anthony, and then they're not going to make the playoffs despite LeBron playing the rest of the games this year. But everyone's going to blame it on Carmelo because that's what people do.
Which is going to be a load of shit. Going to be absolutely absurd when Melo gets blamed for it.
He's going to be LeBron's human shield.
But that's what Zubac is for. Oh, wait. They already traded my Zubac today for your boy Mike Muscala. They brought in another Moose. Goodbye, Michael Beasley. Goodbye, Zubac. Go down to the other end of the tunnel. They don't want you in the Lakers locker room anymore. What the hell? Do we like Muscala of all people? What's the point?
I think at this point LeBron knew that AD wasn't coming, so he told management, like, get me shooters, I'll carry this team into the playoffs. And they got Reggie Bullock, obviously, and now they got Mike Muscala. And they opened up another roster spot to most likely get Carmelo.
Oh, no doubt.
I think this was a mandate from LeBron to just get his guys.
Yeah, I don't understand this move from the Lakers' point of view. Like, obviously, Mike Muscala offers like a bit of outside shooting, but Zubac actually was on a rookie deal. He wasn't playing badly. He was someone that was serviceable until they probably got better players or until they were more serious about making a playoff run. But the fact that they kind of had to give away Zubac and Beasley just to get Mike Muscala, like, I don't know in terms of like money is how that worked out, but I'm just kind of surprised that they had to get rid of him, considering that he was a decent player, and now they're kind of thin on the forward position. Obviously, they have JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler, but they're probably going to get killed on the glass regardless.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they only got rid of Zubac because they wanted to get rid of Beasley. Right? Like Beasley was making 3.5. Muscala's at 5. So you just need someone to fill in that like 1.5 million.
Yeah, but like if you're just really badly considering getting rid of Beasley, you should have just cut him. I know that they probably wanted Mike Muscala, but like I'm sure there would have been better options on the buyout market. Like they could have used a player like Wesley Matthews if they had the roster space and the salary for him. Or they could have looked to get a player like Wayne Ellington. I don't really think that Muscala offers that much to them, and they have to kind of get rid of one of their younger players who honestly wasn't playing that bad.
I think you just like post players.
I do. I also think the Clippers did a hell of a job this trade deadline, considering where they stood, and they were able to dump a lot of their players and get very good assets in return, opening up like two max roster spaces for this offseason. So they did that, and they got rid of Tobias Harris, who's on his expiring contract. We talked about that, but they got two first round draft picks for him and two second round picks. They also they got three first round draft picks, and they're able to
two firsts and two seconds from Philly.
No, it's two firsts and one second.
Right now I see right now, I see they have the 2020 Philly lottery protected first round pick, the Miami's first round pick, and 2 seconds. So 2 seconds and two firsts. My apologies. But yeah, they got good return for Tobias Harris, considering he's only going to be playing 25 more games this regular season.
Well, and Mike Scott, of course. My guy, Mike Scott.
Yeah, but they got Wilson Chandler and Muscala, which they ended up flipping. But they got some young players on cheap contracts in return.
Yeah, they got Shamet as part of that deal as well. And one of the better things that they did today, especially for you, Josh, they finally got rid of Avery Bradley. They brought in JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple, so more veteran guys for your bench. And you no longer have to see Avery Bradley shooting for a Clippers team. That guy's shot is absolutely atrocious this year.
Yeah, he might be out of the NBA next year. he's been just as bad on defense too. Like, even though people consider him to be like one of the best perimeter lockdown guys in the NBA, like the stats show otherwise. He's been one of the worst defensive players in the league this year.
Yeah, he's not as mobile as he used to be, right? Like, he used to be a guy who you would put on your primary ball handler, but now he can't move. He's not as much of a threat offensively. Like, he's kind of just there, especially on the Clippers team when they already had guys like Pat Beverly out there on the floor as a perimeter defender. What's the point of having Avery Bradley?
I don't know. This trade sort of doesn't really make a lot of sense. We don't have to talk about that long, obviously, since it's a very, low-key type of deal. But Bradley for JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple doesn't really make a lot of sense for either team, because all those guys are expiring, right? And if you're trying to bottom out like the Clippers are, it seems like, why not just keep Bradley and just tell him to shoot 20 times a game?
Maybe you just didn't want to watch him shoot.
They can't take it anymore.
Literally, that's the only reason. Just aesthetically,
like
you don't
Doc
want
Rivers
it.
Doc Rivers enjoyed it. He was playing him a lot of minutes this year.
Yeah, Doc Rivers doesn't run the team anymore, though.
No, but I just think that like Garrett Temple and JaMychal Green might actually help them a little bit more than Avery Bradley does, and they might actually win a couple games for them when they probably don't want to win those games going forward.
Yeah, but they have to look like they're trying just enough, but not win. And if they don't make the playoffs, they get their first-round draft pick from Boston back. So that would be a bonus. And again, at the end of the day, like they're going to have tons of cash, open roster spots, rookies on cheap contracts. And they're probably going to be a hot destination for free agents, even though they're the Clippers.
Hot damn. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the Wizards. We recently found out that John Wall is going to be out for a whole year on top of his current injury with an Achilles tear. That came out of nowhere. He says he slipped or fell when he was at home or something. Who knows what actually happened? That's just what was reported. Yeah, I know, right? John Wall, of all people, slipping. Come on. So they just started to clean house. They got rid of Otto Porter's giant contract somehow, bringing in Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, plus a second-round draft pick. So I think that's a pretty good deal for them. And they also got rid of Markieff Morris. And they brought in Wesley Johnson. Whatever, I don't care about Wesley Johnson. But they got rid of Porter, which is huge for that team. That contract was, I thought, was going to be one of the more difficult contracts to move. And to bring in guys like Portis and obviously a flyer like Parker, where they have the team option for him next year, I mean, they actually have space to do stuff now. And they're under the tax, or the cap. So they're not paying into any taxes now.
I don't think they have any cap space still.
Even after, if they don't re-sign Porter this summer? Or Parker? Sorry, not Porter. If they don't re-sign Parker.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they're still near what the cap is. And if not, they're still pretty close.
I think they're...
I think they got under the cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got under it to avoid the tax or a Peter tax. But in terms of cap space going forward, I don't think they have much going into the offseason. Because they have to re-sign Satoransky too, because they need a point guard now that Wall's out.
Well, damn. There goes my theory.
Basically, Washington doesn't know what the hell they're doing, and they gave away a solid player who was on not a great contract, obviously, for a player that they're not going to re-sign, obviously, in Jabari Parker. And I think Bobby Portis' contract is either up next year or possibly this offseason. I have to check into that, but... I mean, I get why they wanted to, you know, get rid of Porter, because obviously they're not going to make the playoffs this year, and they don't want to pay the repeater tax as a, you know, a non-playoff team. It makes sense from their side. Makes a lot more sense what Chicago just did. I don't understand why they brought in Porter.
Yeah, like I want to get more on that side of the trade, where I just don't see how that's going to help Chicago in terms of their rebuild. They just got another player who, again, he's a good quality rotate, like he's a good quality NBA player, but he's getting paid a lot of money for a lot of years, and I don't think he makes your team a lot better, and if anything, he's just going to take away minutes from players that probably need those minutes to improve and just become better NBA players. So I think they really picked up a bad contract, and they gave away Parker and Portis, and they also gave up a second round draft pick just to pick up a bad contract. So I have no idea what was the logic behind that.
Do you remember how long Otto Porter Jr.'s contract is for? Like, after this year, obviously?
He's got 2 years left after this year at 27 Ooh. And 28 million.
Damn, 27 and 28?
So you're locked into Zach LaVine and Otto Porter as your highest paid players for the next 3 years.
That's not great.
Yeah, like if like let's say they just didn't make this trade, if they didn't make this trade, Jabari Parker would be on his way out. They would have Bobby Portis for what, one more year, and his contract is what? I think he's just under.
He's at like $2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's making $3 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ends this year, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, so like they'd basically have more salary cap space to either pay one of their young promising players like Markkanen and keep him under wraps, or they'd be able to pick up maybe a player that fits their system a little better, and more importantly, they're not tied in for another 2 years at, what, $27 million?
Yeah, this is
also, I was wrong about Washington's situation. They have $75 million guaranteed thus far to five players, and if they decide not to bring back Portis and Dwight Howard decides not to take his player option at $5 million a year, they only have, I think, five or six players on the roster at that point. So it's not as bad, but they still have to pay Yanmahimi $16 million next year, so there's that.
Whoo! Good for Yanmahimi, man. Secure that bag.
Also, I just want to say that John Wall is making $38 million next year, $41 million next year, $44 million next after that, and then $47 million. There you go, Volt.
Good for John Wall.
Well, at least they got... Yeah, man, secure the bag. But at least they were able to get rid of Porter's contract. I really don't understand what Chicago's doing, but maybe they think they can flip him for something.
No, I think they got him to improve the team, because that's just how bad these management teams are.
Oh my god, that's awful.
For a team that's trying to lose, they bring in Otto Porter, who's a player that would be a really good fit on a team that was, you know, trying to take another step up as a winning team. Like, if you went to Sacramento, that'd be perfect, instead of Barnes. But
you think so?
Yeah, but
I like Barnes. So. He's a better player than Barnes is.
I like Barnes more though, because he's more athletic. He can actually play more, like, better defense. Like, he's more versatile, and he can handle the rock. Porter cannot handle the rock. Yeah. He'll relax.
I think that perfectly describes Harrison Barnes' game, though.
Yeah,
that noise
Porter,
right there
though.
Perfectly describes his game.
It's the same thing with Porter. And
no, Porter's a much better shooter, though.
Yeah, Barnes is better at driving. You know, you win some, you lose some with these guys. Just before we sign off, I want to give special shout-outs to Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin for being traded like four times this week. Feeling a little like Luke Ridnour in these days, you know?
Yeah, that's some cold sauce.
Cold sauce that just got waved. All right, you guys want to talk about anything else? Do you want to talk about Shelvin Mack going back to Atlanta? Or
and getting waved.
Yeah. Scott LaBissiere and Caleb Swanigan switching places.
Ryan Anderson
to the Heat.
The most surprising thing that didn't happen this deadline was the Atlanta Hawks players not getting traded.
Yes.
Jeremy Lin didn't get traded. Deadman didn't get traded. Bazemore didn't get traded. So you wonder if they're going to get bought out now.
Yeah.
They've already said that they don't want to buy anyone out. That's the weird part. I mean, maybe it was like a negotiating tactic, but
they are 500 in the last, I think, 26 games. So what they're doing is working, but is that really what you want at this point in the season? I don't know.
I mean, they are good locker room guys. Like, you want some veterans in the locker room instead of having completely like young players or guys on their rookie contracts, right? So in that sense, it makes sense. Like, I understand why they would want to do it.
Yeah, I see it from that angle too, but you would just think they were trying to bottom out like they were at the start of the year, but now they sort of found something, I think, with their starting lineup, and they've been winning games recently. They've been really fun to watch too. They're like a East version of Sacramento right now.
Hey, Linsanity round two.
John Collins sanity, you mean?
Yes, John Collins sanity is exactly what I meant to say instead of Linsanity. Very accurate. All right, I think that's all the time we have, unless you guys want to touch on anything else, but I'm pretty happy with this.
What a time to be alive.
It's going to be interesting. I'm very excited for this buyout market.
And
when does all that start?
I'm booking my plane tickets to Golden State for June. It's going to be great as a Raptors fan.
I was going to say, are you getting a Bucks jersey? What's the point here?
Nah, the Bucks are not going to the finals.
I love how no one in the West, like any of the contenders in the West, did anything except for Houston. If you want to call them a contender. However, the East, also, like everyone was making moves.
It was an arms race.
Yeah.
You know, that trade for James Ennis going to Philadelphia, I was confused by that. Like, why is Houston giving up a wing player for nothing?
Because he sucks.
He's been okay this year.
What? How? What do you mean?
He's played pretty decent defense, and he's been a guy in their starting lineup that has produced a little bit during his minutes at least. And he's a guy that can defend their wing players, you know? Now they have Iman Shumpert, who's okay, but he's smaller.
Did you call him Iman Shumpert?
Iman.
Oh my god, you said Iman Shumpert.
Wow. Iman Shumpert.
Oh man, you're Man Shumpert indeed. Oh, that's brutal.
Add James Ennis to another player that's coming off the bench for Philadelphia when you said they had no one.
Yeah, you're
Oh yeah, they have James Ennis, congratulations.
Hey man, you were just saying how he's been decent this year. I don't know.
Yeah, he's all right.
There you go. All right, I think that's it. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember, rate and subscribe. Hit us up on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, all the podcast networks. Obviously on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.